Welcome to the Authentic Man Radio Hour with your host, Les Jensen, helping men discover their truth. Hello, and thanks for joining us on the show today. This show is about healthy masculine, what the face of healthy masculine looks like, and how to get there. My name's Les Jensen, and I'm the host of the show, and I created the show for a very specific reason. I think the calling of our times, what our tribe is asking of us, is to step into our truth, to step into our power, to get comfortable in our own skin, to trust ourselves again. And this show is oriented around helping men do just that. Although the show is named after men, it's for whoever wants to listen. It's healing the healthy masculine, no matter where that shows up. And I think everyone can benefit. The part of the shift, if you will, of humanity is for men to own their truth and women to own their truth as well. And I think that'll be easier for the women to do as the men get comfortable and trust themselves again. So the show is for men. The only reason I'm doing this is to help men, to help them heal the past and to create their future, exceptional futures, fantastic futures. We all have such an infinite well of potential possibilities within ourselves, and what does it take to bring that out into our lives so we can actually live it? And it's not really important what I think. It's important what you think. It's not important what I do. It's important what you do. The show is about you. You connecting with your truth. I'm not here to define any aspect about your life. That's all you're choosing. But I am here to help you reclaim your power, connect with your joy, bring your passion into your everyday life, to live a fulfilling, rich, and rewarding life that has you going to bed really fulfilled and satisfied. There's a sense of joy that happens when you honor that truth of you. And this show is about fostering that. For every single one of us, it's about a personal journey that we're taking. This life experience thingy, is this sequential day after day stuff, is a journey that we're all on. And I think that journey is calling us to grow. And what's just so crazy about the times we're living in now is that it seems like the more things collapse and fall apart, the more opportunity or the more of the core foundation of ourselves is open for a redefinition. It's almost like the harder the storm, the more choices of the outcome, if you will. So these times that we're living in are just quite exceptional. And I think it's really a siren, if you will, calling our souls to wake up and own our truth. And so this personal journey is something that can be easy and it can be hard. It can be taking a long time, or it can happen sooner than later. For myself, I didn't even consider myself as any kind of a advocate for masculine or connected to healthy men or helping men. And it wasn't until I was about 35 that I really got a wake-up call, and I suspect it came from my soul. I'm sure it did. And now that I'm 50, I've spent several years working through my karma, letting go of my past, cleaning out my unresolved self, if you will, I took a lot of time to heal my heart, to expand my heart, to open my heart, to allow love to conduit through my heart without concern of the consequences. Love is such a powerful thing that when you start to bring it into your everyday life, massive changes can happen. And unless you're really grounded and rooted in your truth, those changes can be intimidating and scary. But the more you understand your truth, the more those aspects are dissolved. And so I know everybody's going through a lot of change, especially men, and to reach out a hand and help them ground and center and focus and understand as much as possible as far as what's happening is something that brings me joy. That's something that my heart guided me to do. As you heal your heart, as you open your heart, you get infused with bigger and bigger ideas of how you can touch humanity. All the hearts of everybody on the planet are connected. And when you heal your heart and there's still suffering in other hearts, then you're motivated to connect with others and help them. Joseph Campbell has this DVD set called The Power of Myth. And there was a place in there where he talks about bliss, the feeling of bliss. And he connects it quite directly to that of service. And when you open your heart and you follow its wisdom, you move to a place of service. And when you step into that role of service, a sense of joy comes to you, a sense of peace comes to you, a sense of knowingness, if you will. And that is kind of a haven that's always within you that you can develop and grow your awareness and understanding of it. And the more you get centered with that, the more you can be at ease, even though what's happening outside of you appears to be chaotic. I think the evolution of the earth and humanity as a whole is moving into a whole new chapter. And that whole new chapter is a timing, a pacing that we're all on. We're all sharing this transformation of humanity. In the past, change didn't happen quite so globally as it does now. With Twitter and YouTube and whatnot, we're connected to everybody else on the planet pretty directly. It's amazing how quickly you'll see footage of news events on YouTube that was put there by just the average citizen. And so we're able to shine a camera on every face of humanity. And as this ability to look at the totality of humanity on the planet, some of it wasn't that flattering. I mean, some of it was just downright sad and unfortunate. It's like we're going through puberty, and some of the growing pains aren't that flattering. But this journey that we're taking collectively and individually is about separating from the story of the past. The story of the past is not going to work anymore. The old school idea of what it was to be human was to go through school, get a job, click off 30 years with a particular company, and then retire and coast out the rest of your life. But it's easy to see that that model doesn't work anymore. That paradigm doesn't work anymore. And so the more we can disconnect from the story of the past, the more we can own the future. The more we let go of what we thought life should be, the more diversity we have in choices as far as what we want to create for the future. And so a lot of this material that we're going to be looking at with this show is about resolving the unresolved aspects of ourselves, how to make ourselves whole, kind of a unity mentality. And so with this show, we're going to bring on guest speakers and have topics that really respect and honor the truth of what it is to be an authentic man, what that looks like, and how to really fulfill that truth of you. So often we're judged and quantified by our peers and our families and our religions and our governments or whatever. And when we look to that to measure how we're doing, it keeps us kind of locked in the past. And so to disconnect from the expectation of what our life is supposed to look like and really kind of dissolve the old school mindset of what it would look like to be successful in your life, then you can kind of surrender what your life looks like to your heart and your soul. Your heart and your soul has wisdom that is beyond measure. Your soul really doesn't have any need for limitation. Your soul doesn't have any fear. There is nothing that will rattle it. And your soul is this infinite well of joy and peace and really a well of happiness that you can tap in every moment. But your soul is going to stay authentic to who it is. Your soul is not going to put on fear. Your soul is not going to put on doubt or shame. It's not going to come and meet you in your fear or your shame or your doubt, because that's incongruent with who your soul is. It's when you choose to let go of those aspects and release them that you move into harmony with how your soul already is. It's like you've accumulated a story or a history. Your family of origin really defines the kind of the core way of looking at life. I mean, your folks or your caregivers literally taught you how to think. And whatever their fears or worries or concerns were imprinted or passed like a baton from generation to generation, defining the nature of life. If you were to collect 1,000 people and have them just journal how they experience life, just write a quick paragraph. Is life safe? Is it scary? Is prosperity easy? Is it hard? Just generalize the nature of how you experience life. And these 1,000 people sincerely write down their personal experience about life. If you were to stack all these up and then go reading through them, you would swear these people are from different planets, because even though they're living in the same environment, we have such different notions about what life is or how easy or hard it is or whether change is possible or not. It's almost like you go in a DVD store and there's every kind of genre possible. There's people who are living lives of struggle and lack, and there's other people living lives of abundance and happiness on the same planet at the same time. And part of this transformation that humanity's going through is requiring a lot of us to let go of our old story. And it's like, well, if I press eject on my DVD player, then who the hell am I? I mean, we're kind of vested in who we think we are. And our soul, this huge infinite being, is saying, come on, just let go a little bit. Just give me a little room to wiggle here. And the more we let go and kind of surrender to the truth of us and let go of our old story, the more choices we have to re-decide from. It's like the more you let go, the more DVDs you have to choose from as far as what your future looks like. And there's been such collective ideology. There's been a rigid mindset throughout humanity about the nature of life. And when we even let go of our tribal programming, I mean, even the root stuff that has been held in our human consciousness for generations, then there's arenas in the DVD store that become available and online. It's like, to understand what's possible for our human experience, we have to step away from the timeline that we're experiencing. And the farther back we step, the smaller our chapter of humanity looks. If what I really like to consider is the history of mythology. If you go in a bookstore, there'll be a really thick book about mythology, and you sit down and just leaf through it, and there's these cultures that sacrifice animals or people to the harvest gods so their crops will grow. And there's other chapters that are about empires and monarchies and things like that. But they're all just stories that humanity has collectively held in their consciousness. And what we're experiencing now today is really kind of a delightful thing, because in the past, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, just a few of the stories were shifting. And a lot of humanity was still quite rigid. But what we're going through now is some really powerful turbulence. And that's breaking apart a lot of our root stories that we've held on to for such a long time. And so what that, by our whole collective tribe letting go of what we thought it was supposed to look like, whole new arenas of DVDs become available that haven't been available to humanity for eons. I mean, the more we let go of our tribal or collective story, the more we can expand our role or our story, the more we're allowed to create completely new paradigms and new storylines that support humanity and support prosperity and food and shelter for everybody on the planet. So there's so much change going on. It's like if you can get centered about what's actually happening, you can really use the wave of change to accelerate your own personal life story and kind of leapfrog a whole lot of the pacing of the change and shift your life and turn it on a dime, if you will, and move more into alignment with the nature of your story. It's like your soul is not concerned about anything. It understands the truth of the nature of life, and it trusts the nature of life. So it doesn't worry, it doesn't fret, it doesn't have concern. And it's sitting there playing your life story. Perhaps it's playing a bass, and it's just wailing away and cranking out the passion and the purpose of who you are as a person. But in order for that to translate into your personal life, you let go of all the programming you've had in the past. It's when you surrender to the idea that your heart and your soul has for your life, invariably it's going to get easier. Invariably it's going to happen quicker. It's like our worry and our concern and our ego slows it down and constricts the flow of life in our everyday life. So when we just let go and trust, then the pacing and the power of our life can shift quite dramatically. So The purpose of the show is to bring to light the potential of humanity, and it focuses on the masculine. The masculine is about creation. It's about spatial time and space, the bringing ideas into fruition. And so the show is going to touch on some of the core aspects of what's going on. If you think about a lot of the struggles that humanity has before it today, the powerful person, the open heart, the soulful inspiration of the awakened, authentic man is going to turn their intention and attention on resolving some of the obvious problems of humanity, feeding humanity, clothing humanity, growing food, generating energy, healing, schooling, all these paradigms of humanity where we've dropped into lack and struggle are going to be the first things that get resolved as humanity awakens to its power. So what I'm going to do is just review some of the topics that are going to be kind of the cornerstones of what this show is about. It certainly is not going to restrict the diversity of the show, but just kind of the core intentions of what it's going to look like as far as topics. So that first arena of topics is sustainability. The core needs of humanity. What does it take for us to sustain ourselves? It's such a curious thing that if I look at like an automobile, I don't really need an automobile to stay alive. I need shelter. I need food. I need sleep. Those are kind of like my core things. Sure, an automobile might help those things happen, but if something happens to my automobile, I can go to the Yellow Pages and open up the Yellow Pages, and there's 20 or 30 pages of car repair shops that'll fix my car. But the funny thing is I need electricity to have the furnace run to keep me warm in the winter. And if the electricity goes out, I only have one phone number. There's only one phone number I can call if I lose my power. And if there's no choice in how I get my power resolved, then I don't have any power, so to speak, pardon the pun, I don't have any power to resolve the situation. So in the notion of sustainability, the core needs are going to be met through many different sources, and the sources are going to be local. Like we've been talking about cars, if I want my car to go down the road, I have to put gas in it, and the gas comes from another country on the other side of the planet. And how do I have any personal power about how I get around if I'm obliged to go buy fuel from some huge corporation that dictates the price of gas and regulates the flow? Even if I come up with crude oil, so I have a 500,000 gallons of crude oil, I still can't use it. I have to build a refinery to refine it into gasoline. Again, there's no choices there. There's no choice about the direction my life takes. I'm obligated to live the story of the tribe because it's so ingrained in how we do things. But the future, the very near future, it's happening now, is about providing choices for people. So this radio show actually came from a men's group I started called Authentic Man Men's Group. And when I would gather with these men and talk to them, I saw such a heavy burden on their hearts, such a heavy remorse or challenge for them to really feel comfortable about their life or let go of the past or feel even to feel validated or, I mean, you know, a sense of guilt was pretty prominent or a sense of shame or something like that. And as these men are waking up, they're wondering about, what am I supposed to be doing? What is my purpose? I mean, I've been a welder for 20 years and now that's gone. What do I do? It's like for myself, I've worked in broadcast television 25 years and that industry kind of got turned on its head and the business model of that got reprogrammed underneath me. I mean, the carpet got pulled out from underneath me. So here I am waking up. It's like, I'm going to bring choices to people. So if you're a man and your way of living your life has shifted on you, I suggest you look at sustainability, listen to your heart and see what seeds or ideas that you're fed that provide a more substantial arena of choices for humanity, new ways to grow food. Maybe you come up with a way to grow enough food in your basement or in your garage or in a tough shed, or I don't know. You're going to get those ideas. Again, this show isn't about handing you anything. It's about you discovering yourself. So generating electricity or transportation, new forms of getting around, new ways to heal people, new ways to teach our children. It's like there's so many topics that should be in our schools. So the sustainability of the population is a key aspect, I think, for this new chapter of Divine Masculine, the Healthy Masculine. The masculine is about the sustaining how things happen. It's about time and it's about space and providing for. And so sustainability will be a core arena of topics. Another arena of topics this show is going to look at is relationships and intimacy. I think we've been hoodwinked many, many, many generations ago when it comes to owning who we are, owning our sexuality, owning our innermost passions and desires. And part of this new age, this new world, is to completely own who you are in every aspect of your being, to shed any mask that you feel you might need to put on, and to be able to stand there to what might originally feel very vulnerable, but the more time you spend in that space, you find that when you feel vulnerable, you just know that new opportunities are coming into you. So it's like our sexuality is the vibration of life itself. That original idea that created the universe was a very sexual energy. And that same exact vibration exists within us. And our tribe has taken sex and just pounded it into the ground. There's so much shame and guilt and judgment oriented around it that if you were to be completely comfortable with your sexuality, you move into a new arena, and there's not a lot of tribal programming until now that allows you to explore that sexuality and to trust it again and to actually even hone it and perfect it, because it is, again, the exact same energy, that creative energy that all of life manifests with. And so the show's going to look about how to feel comfortable when the feeling of vulnerability comes up, how to bring your awareness completely into focus on your partner with no expectation of a return. And when you bring that complete awareness to that space of intimacy, powerful stuff happens. You can shift your karma real time in very bold and dramatic ways when you allow yourself to go there. Sexual energy is source energy. There's nothing shameful about sex at all, about intimacy at all. We're hardwired for it. It's what keeps the species going. It's the core drive that keeps humanity on the planet. And to erase any sense of guilt or shame or judgment around that will allow us to awaken the most powerful aspect of our being. So I'm willing to go with this show into perhaps uncharted ground, into new arenas of open, honest, truthful dialogue. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be shameful of. It's how we're all hardwired. It's like we all have bodies, and yet if we're out in public and in the buff in our birthday suit, we're supposed to feel shameful and go and hide. And it's just whacked. That's wrong. We got to fix that. So I'm looking at fixing that. Another aspect, another arena that this show is going to focus on is business, commerce, business as a vehicle to change the world. Business as a vehicle to provide new choices for the masses. When people participate in the process of commerce, when money is exchanged or goods are traded, there's an inherent value that's agreed upon. And this value is just a mutual agreement as to what the commodity is worth. If you think about diamonds, we find a diamond and we say, oh my gosh, look at this, it's a diamond and it's clear and the color is perfect and the cut is perfect. This is worth thousands of dollars. Diamonds are made of carbon. This whole planet is based on the carbon model of life. Diamonds are prolific all over the planet. But we have collectively agreed upon the value of an individual diamond. And whether it's worth thousands or it's just commonplace and really worth nothing, it's something that we agree upon. And so when you start opening your heart wider and wider, your heart's going to feed you new ideas, and these new ideas are going to be ideas that will ultimately change the world. And so to recognize the value of the idea that your heart has given you is a key aspect as to bringing your life purpose into play into our human experience. The pacing of things now is much quicker. If you think about Facebook didn't even exist a few years ago, and now it's like global, and the founder of Facebook has connected humanity all over the world, and as a result, he has been rewarded immensely. And so when you look at business as a model and understand the mechanics of that model, when your soul and your heart feed you ideas, I'm going to bring people on the show, powerful people on the show, that'll teach you what to do with these ideas that are fed into your heart and soul. And when you understand the value of an idea, and you know how to bring it into fruition, that's the most powerful part, and that's where we get stuck. how to bring the idea into fruition, when you get clear about that, then the pacing in your life kind of limitations. Your heart and soul will seed you ideas that will turn your life on a dime and expand so rapidly that your old brain would burst into flames and catch on fire, because you never would have conceived yourself performing such a tremendous act that ripples all through humanity. So I'm just going to take you through a really simple model of the power of an idea. So in this example, just imagine yourself a college professor, and here comes a new wave of freshmen, and this is the IT department, so we need to give them an assignment that rattles their head around. So we're going to ask them to build a web page. I want you to go design a web page where I can log in and upload a video. So I'm going to upload a video clip, and I'm going to type in some metadata attributes that describe the video clip, and this project will store the video clip. And then I can come back to the web page and search the metadata and see a selection of video clips and then play them out. That's easily a freshman level assignment for web programming. It's a very simple idea, a very simple idea. But one thing we were never taught in school is how to appreciate the value of a single idea. So some really brilliant men, some really powerful, I don't even know if they're men, some powerful people took that simple idea and wrapped over $200 million of investor money, not their own money, investor money, over $200 million of investment money, and advertised that web page. And within a year, they sold that web page for over $1 billion. And that web page is YouTube. So a simple college entry-level technology was leveraged with investor money into a billion-dollar company within a year. So when you have an idea, you don't necessarily have to fund it out of your own pocket. There's wealthy people, millionaires, billionaires, and then there's people called investors. Why do we call them investors? Why don't we just call them rich? Well, investors have a lot of capital, and they're looking at leveraging their capital against the marketplace with something they don't have. Investors are looking for something that they don't have. Investors are looking for ideas. And so when you have an idea, you have what an investor is looking for. And another thing they don't teach you is when you go into a business situation with investors, the investor is taking the financial risk. The financial risk is not yours as the inventor. The idea is yours. And so when you negotiate with an investor, you're agreeing upon the value of an idea. That's all you're doing. You're agreeing on the value. And whether it happens or not, whether it unfolds or not, is the risk that the investor holds. You don't have to hold that aspect of it. And when you understand that, then you move into a much more powerful place, because all you have to honor is the idea. All you have to honor is the idea that you have. We should be teaching this in school. I was talking to a business student, and I asked him how many classes they had that talked about ideas, and he said none. It was all the mechanics of business, not the big picture of business. So we really haven't been given the proper training to get our wands to work, to really leverage an effect on the world in a very powerful and decisive way. So in this new world, in the model of humanity that we're moving into, it's going to be about honoring our truth, honoring our potential. And every single one of us, every person on the planet has a well of inspiration. That well of ideas is bottomless. You cannot diminish your magnificence no matter how many times you draw from it. Life is always seeking to expand its expression. If you don't believe that, try to corral the dandelions in your backyard. They're constantly seeking expansion. That's the very nature of life itself. And you are life itself. Your soul is life itself. It's constantly seeking expansion. And so you can go to your soul and your heart and say, what can I do for humanity? What can I do to fulfill my life purpose? And you're going to be seated with these ideas. And these ideas are the thing itself. The idea is the thing itself. And so the show's going to be about what the hell do you do with an idea? I mean, I've had ideas rolling around my head for 20 years. I mean, so what? Well, when you learn how to honor that idea and actually bring it into fruition, bring it into effect in quicker and quicker ways, then the pacing of your life speeds up and the scope of your life expands, and you start living your life at a level that you never would have comprehended for yourself when you were stuck in your old story. And so it's really a powerful thing to let go of that. And the last aspect that I want to talk about as far as these core arenas of topics that the show is going to focus on, and that's your inner space. That is your persona, your soul itself, your heart itself, who you are. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The Father and I are one. That's the Bible's reference to it. I don't subscribe to any one thing as an absolute truth, but countless mythology points to the same story. Joseph Campbell talked about exploring the mythology from all over the globe, and he really found this core message inside of every single one of them. Every one of our tribes have that same message. And so it's that kingdom within ourselves that is the destination that will be lasting. If you want to have a sense of security in the future, that no matter what the headlines read, that you'll be good, awaken your power, connect with your heart, connect with that inner wisdom, and learn to trust it and follow it impeccably. So as you do that, you're going to take an idea and bring it into fruition in shorter and shorter amounts of time. And pretty soon, no matter what happens outside of you, you can, through the inspiration of your soul, craft a solution and bring it into effect in short order. And that's where you have a sense of security. There's no one aspect of life that you can hang your coat on and have it work every time. The way you become powerful and secure is to be loosey-goosey about who you are and what you're capable of. Because sometimes the solution is to don an aspect of yourself that you might not have embraced in the past. And had you not let go of who you thought you were, you couldn't have put on this new persona that is the resolution of whatever you're struggling with. So we're going to really look at your inner space, yourself as energy. And when you start to look at that, you're going to see that a lot of your past has an energetic signature in your persona. How many times have you met somebody and felt weird, or you get a chill or something? Their energy is a signature of the beliefs and thoughts and emotions from their past that they haven't resolved. The universe, more or less, is just a mirror, or perhaps an echo of who you are. And a lot of it is hidden in our subconscious. I know for myself, my subconscious was like this flipping freight train. It's like if life is a journey, I was going down railroad tracks. There was no variation in my life for such a long time. And when I got cracked open, if you will, life cracked me open. I started to look inside myself, and I found huge aspects of unresolved energy within my persona that was really dictating my life. It was like this super strong arm was reaching over my shoulder, grabbing the steering wheel of my life and dragging me through the weeds. I was really struggling with life, and I couldn't get any footing or traction. My body was under severe protest, and it was quite challenging. But what I've learned over the years is that everything I struggled with was just a lesson. And all the tyrants, all the people in my life that were theoretically giving me hardship, giving me grief or torment, was actually holding keys to my freedom. And when I learned not to run away from it, but to listen to it and feel it and experience it for the story it had to tell me, for the lesson that I needed to learn to understand my truth in that situation, then I started to get a broader and broader footing. And now I understand that no matter what happens to me, it's my choice how I experience it. And so that's really a place of power. That's a place of freedom when you come to understand that. So no matter what circumstances you're living in now, no matter what circumstances, those circumstances don't have any power over you except what power you give them. If you're addicted to your story, then your story has power. If you're afraid of your emotions, then your emotions have power. If you want to reclaim your power, master emotions. If you want to claim your power, let go of your addiction to your story. The universe has no memory to hold against you. The moment you let go of it, the universe will bring you a new story. You're the creator of your life, and there's nothing really in the nature of life to dictate what happens. And so when you decide you're going to own every single word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to accept every single consequence of every thought that you have, and you forgive everyone in your life, including yourself, then there's this energetic upheaval. And to the old mind, it's kind of scary because you're allowing yourself to have feelings you've never acknowledged in your past. And as you release this unresolved energy from your past, you become clear and clear, and your core vibration rises. And the same thing happens when you heal your heart and learn to love again. Your ability to love yourself is a direct reflection of your ability to love humanity. The more of humanity you can love and forgive, the more of yourself you can love and forgive. And the more you do that, the more power, literal raw power, you allow yourself to stand in. And so no matter what kind of circumstances the headlines brings to humanity, you can stay anchored in the truth of who you are and be still and listen to your heart and your soul, and you'll be fed the ideas that will turn the circumstances around. And so you'll become a magician of sorts. Your wand will work again. Your your wand, your ability to change the situation will come back online when you follow the guidance of your heart and your soul and take action immediately to bring it into fruition and quicken the pacing. Then you're able to bring effect to the circumstances and transform it strictly from your presence, strictly from following that inner inspiration. And to do that, you, to the untrained eye, it looks like you're becoming a tyrant or a traitor to the tribe. But the tribe is so addicted to the tribe's story, anybody stepping out of that story is seen as a scoundrel. When you start stepping into your truth, the people around you are going, well, who are you? Or did you get too big for your britches? And it's like, yeah, there's no britches in the world that can hold who I am. I'm an infinite being. And so you accept the notion that you're powerful, and you show up in your power, and you allow yourself the permission and the inspiration of transforming our human experience. It's kind of like you're swinging the bat and you're trying to figure out how to hit the ball. And for decades, I know for myself, I wasn't hitting the ball very well. My life was more struggle than it was stride, and I didn't have any sense of grace or ease in my life. But now I've kind of let go of my story as much as possible, and I still stay open to more of it getting resolved, and I allow all of my emotions. And so when I have an emotional reaction, it doesn't send me off into left field or whatever. Once you start swinging the bat and get an effect, in other words, once you take action on the ideas the moment they come into your mind, because you know the vibration of your heart, you know the vibration of the ideas that come from inside your being, and you blindly and quickly take action to bring that into fruition, it's like you're starting to hit the ball and getting a good solid connection with the bat, and you're starting to hit them. Pretty soon, every time you swing the bat, the ball goes over the fence. It's like, wait a minute. I need about two or three pitchers to throw me these balls, and I'm going to like triple the pace in which I bring ideas into fruition. I quicken how long it takes me to take action. My heart told me to start a radio show for men to help them come into their power, to discover their truth. And so I did it. I have no idea where this is going to ripple, except it's me honoring my truth. I don't hold any particular idea of what's going to happen from this. I just do it and trust. And that allows any outcome to be possible. I'm not couching it. I'm not trying to contain it in any kind of a vessel. So I allow myself to transcend any story the tribe has told me. I allow myself to transcend my relationship with the universe. I allow myself to transcend the posturing of ideas and just allow the divine inspiration that's within me and within you to come into the world. And so when I do this, I'm celebrating my own uniqueness. I'm celebrating my own gifts. It's funny, the authentic you, this is the Authentic Man radio show. The authentic you is not only enough, it's the best possible outcome. For you to honor your authentic truth is the best possible thing you can give humanity. You're not going to put on a mask to be a powerful player in life. You're going to take all your masks off, because that authentic you that is always there, that authentic you that cannot be removed by anybody else on the planet, you are hardwired as you, and nobody can take that away. That authentic you is the best possible outcome of you. Your heart and soul wants you to be happy. It wants you to be living a passionate, fulfilling life. Your soul feeds you dreams. Your soul feeds you dreams of what's possible for your life. And it's just a stepping stone. If you were to sit down and dream the best dream you could possibly imagine for your life, where everything you desired became possible and manifested into your life, that's just a stepping stone, because life is continually seeking expansion. And so there's a few key elements to knowing when you're in alignment with your life purpose. And those key elements are the feeling of joy, the feeling of excitement. When you find joy in something that you do, or you have an idea and you get excited about it, that is an indication that you're moving into alignment with your soul. And so by honoring the desires of your life that were fed you by your heart and soul, you're actually honoring the path that your life was intended to take. And so follow your dreams. Honor the ideas that you have. Expand your heart and love as much of humanity as you possibly can. Sometimes it might seem hard to embrace the notion of love, but like terrorists or something like that, how can we love terrorists? Well, the crazy thing about life is we're giving fierce freedom on this planet. We're giving fierce freedom to make any choices that we want, including the choice to end life, which is the darkest part of the shadow, is the denial of life. And by those same principles, we're also given the ability to manifest life in equally grand ways. So no matter how intense a tragedy is, we have the same permission to have an intense solution come online. So you'll have an idea within your persona of what you could do, and when you honor that wholeheartedly, you're allowed the power to bring it into play. There's no boundaries. We're given fierce freedom here on the planet. And so dream your best dream. Honor the ideas your heart has given you. Trust that you're perfect already. Nothing's going to be added to you. There's not some element that's going to be snapped in like a puzzle piece to complete you. You're already complete. It's more of a discovery or a reveal of your truth. It's honoring that authentic you. So anyway, hopefully this gives you an idea of the nature of our show. I'm going to hold the show every 2 weeks until I decide otherwise, and then bring on callers. So tune in again in 2 weeks, and we'll talk more about what it means to be an authentic man. Thanks for joining me, and dream your best dream. It's your soul trying to inspire you. This has been the Authentic Man Radio Show. For more information, go to www.authenticman.org. Join us next time. Goodbye.